You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
What you just listened to was these people in Germany. They are howling because they all think they're dogs, and they are howling in response to, let me make sure I get this right here, they're protesting in support for trans species rights. They're literally, they're all together howling like dogs. Let me play you another clip. I want you to listen to this. This is actually, to me, is a little bit more serious. Okay, this next one is an audio of Congressman Matt Gaetz. They're up on Capitol Hill. I guess they're doing some oversight on military programs and educational programs. And he is interviewing Lieutenant General Richard Clark. You got to listen to this. This is a clown town here. You have to just listen to this.
What's demigender?
Sir, that's a term of the people that are eligible for that particular scholarship that
is
available.
What's a demigender person?
It's a person who looks at their gender in a different way than I do, sir.
Well, sure, that's all of these people. You're a cisgender man. You don't even get to apply.
Well,
do you know what demigender really means?
I'm not really sure, sir.
Right. So do you know what agender means? All one word, not a space gender, but agender.
Sir, I don't.
Right. So here we are pushing a fellowship, calling for people that you don't even know what the words mean. And the number one group of people, the cisgender men, are excluded. Should we be pushing programs that we can't define that exclude the largest group of service members?
They're supporting this program that is only for these demigenders and agenders. They disqualify everybody. Even this general wouldn't qualify for this. And Gaetz's question is a legitimate question. Should we, as a country, in the name of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, be not even including cisgender members of the military? And this guy, he doesn't even know. He can't even answer the question. It's incredible to me. This is clown world. Just like the video before, where people are like howling like dogs and demanding, their rights to be animals. You know, it's like we are living in a clown world. And it goes back to my episode, I think 114, as to how much more are we going to take in this country and, around the world? How much more are we going to listen to this stuff and pretend or act like it doesn't matter? This should concern everybody. I mean, every single soul on this freaking planet. This should concern everybody. Not just people in the United States. Not just people in the military. This train is going, 1,000 miles an hour. And the track is coming to the edge of the cliff. And we have the government of the United States. We have an administration that just keeps putting more and more coal and more fuel onto the fire and just keep getting this train going faster and faster. And the track ends at the cliff, and it's going to go off the cliff. It's like a Thelma and Louise, at the end of the movie where they drive off the cliff. It's like that. Like, when are we going to wake up? I mean, how much more information, direct information or circumstantial evidence, do you need to review, to look at, to make a determination that we are just going full barrel into this, off this cliff. When and at what point do you say to yourself, okay, I've got to stop whatever I'm doing, and this has got to be priority, because my family's getting screwed over. I'm getting screwed over. If you're single or married or family, whatever, we're all getting screwed over. The government keeps telling us that we're doing great. The economy is like super, super charged, and it's just wonderful. It's doing great, you know. Telling everybody's making more money, you know, the unemployment rate is down. But you can't afford, you know, kids can't afford to buy homes. Young families can't afford to buy homes. They're stuck renting. Because the price of houses are astronomical. For the average is like over $400,000 a year. And your money, your employment, I read this statistic, and I was just looking at New Jersey because I used to live in New Jersey, I raised my family there. And even in New Jersey, it gave annual salaries, and how from, I think it was like a 7-year span, and how your buying power, like if you made $130,000, or 140 or something like that, and what that means today, you're making 140,000. Now it's like you're making 100,000. So that's your buying power. That's where that is truly where the economy is. Okay, the government can get on there and paint this as rosy as a picture, have the most beautiful rose picture of a rose, just all the petals are perfect and everything, and just you know, telling us and just keep propagandizing us to death about how good things are, and they just aren't. You know, here we are, we're just boiling down the trackway, right? Like I said, you know, in my last episode, you know, we're going down a track that's the stop lights are saying red, don't go down this track, and we're just saying, we don't care. Yeah, what do they know? You know, what do they know? That we just keep going down. And you know, when are we going to change? And how are we going to change? I mean, that's still up in the air. I mean, I don't have an answer. My answer to a lot of this, okay, and I really believe that this will be a change. And I listened to this podcast the other day about the people who, and listen, I approach it from a religious standpoint because I'm a religious person. I believe I'm a spiritual person. I'm not perfect, but I'm a spiritual person. I try to look at my life with an eternal view of things. You know, that this life is helping me prepare for what is to come after I pass this life. Because we all came into this world. We're all going to leave this world. And what I'm doing now is something that is helping me prepare for the future after this life. You can believe whatever you want to believe, that's what I believe. And I believe in looking at things on an eternal nature, and that means I've got to study things and look at things in a different way. Not what the world is wanting us to look at, not the way that our government wants us to look at things, not the way that our neighbors want me to look at things, but the way that God wants me to look at things, okay? And they did this study where if people read their scripture, read the Bible 4 times a week. I think it was four times a week that they reported. This is what they reported. They actually reported being less angry, less frustrated, feeling more love, getting along with their neighbors, getting along with their family members, and a host of other ones, and those are just a few that they mentioned to this. And I said if they read them once, it wasn't that much of a change. Twice, really nothing at all. 3 times, you start seeing a little bit of difference, but 4 seemed to be the magical number to take the time to you know, read the Bible and read the words of God and how it was affecting people. Did they actually report these? I mean, they had percentages like 40, 50, 60% on these different line items, right? And I thought to myself, like, you know, how are things going to change? For myself, okay, it comes down to how I live my life and how I try to stack it up and stack it up according to what God's want me to do. Okay. I look at the Ten Commandments. And I look at the Ten Commandments, and if you look at the Ten Commandments, every one of them are not only a personal thing that it helps you to be a better person, but it's also a societal thing. It's a community thing. It's a community commandment. It's a societal commandment that if we follow these things, that we will have more joy and more happiness in our lives. And what do we have in reverse of that today? We have more suicide. We have more divorce. We have more wives leaving their husbands. We have more child suicides. We're confusing our children about their sexuality. We're sexualizing our children. We're starting to teach elementary school children, first graders, second graders, even as young as babies, about sex. And it's like, We get children's books now that talk about transgenderism and how to have sex and how gay people have sex and things like that. I mean, little kids. We have TV programs, Blue's Clues, all these different Paw Patrol has started a whole thing now. Everything is sexualized that is being geared and thrown at our children. And what are we going to have? You know, what are you going I'm not meaning to laugh. This is like serious shit. This has got to be. You have to be aware that the cliff is coming. Okay, and it's not that far away here, guys, people. It's not that far away. Okay, and you got to decide. You better decide that you don't want to go off this cliff, because we're going to go off this cliff. We've learned this once with COVID, okay? We let the government tell us what to do. We believe them, unfortunately. Some of us did. Many people didn't. With the mass vaccines, shutting down our government, shutting down our economy, shutting down our schools, shutting down our churches. And we're seeing the results of that. And it's either we're blind and we just don't want to recognize it or believe that we allowed that to happen to us. But the facts are is that it did happen to us. And it's something we shouldn't ever forget. We shouldn't just say, oh, you know, that was 3 years ago and it's 3 years away and blah, 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 all this stuff. And the government can't do that to us, you know, they can't do that. You know, I don't like to bring up 9/11 very often, but we just 9/11. We just recognized the losses of almost 3,000 lives in the towers in New York, and even then, I mean, that's 2,000. That's look how many years that's been. And do we take time to think about that and the unity? You know, I look at that. We came together as a country, and we had more unity at that time than we ever had, and rightfully so. That we should have been there. We were no longer people of New York, Louisiana, Utah, New Jersey. We are all just Americans, and we're not like that anymore. We are talking about separating the red states from the blue states now. The train is gaining speed, and you know, we need conductors, we need people that are going to drive this train, slow it down, maybe even stop it, reassess, maybe turn it around, get on a different track, right? And the evidence is all around us. It's direct evidence and circumstantial evidence. It's all around us. And we just need to start paying attention to it, making changes. What I was saying is that I really believe that a society that continues to fall away from its religious principles and its standards will allow any other kind of teaching and philosophy to take its place. That's what will happen. And what we're allowing is we're allowing the government and these different ideologies to take the place of our religious beliefs. And if you're not, I'm sorry, but there's a difference between, you know, religion and quote unquote spirituality that I see on the internet a lot. And, it has to do a lot more with women than men from what I've been able to to surmise, but you know, if you get on, not that I go on dating sites very often, but I went on once because my children, you know, I'm divorced, and they say, hey, you got to check out a, you know, so I went on Match, I think was, well, I don't know if it's a good one, bad one, I don't even really pay attention to much. But if you read these profiles of most of these women, they're all, most of them, unless you are singling out and you're classifying yourself as an LDS and you're looking for another LDS person who's active in the church and who are following the same principles, have the same standards, have the same principles you have, many of them are just saying, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And to tell you the truth, I really don't get the difference between that. I don't know. Spiritual in what way? I mean, are you or what kind of doctrine do you live by? You know, what kind of doctrine? I mean, I was kind of laughing the other day. I was one of my friends sent me a montage of I don't know if you've seen these things or not. These women, and they're just really good-looking women, and they're all doing yoga, right? But the thing with it is that all of them are scantily dressed, half dressed, or just like wearing nothing. And most of them are showing, you know, how yoga is, you know, does the splits and does all these things and does all these movements and poses and things like that. Well, the camera always focuses in on the girl's, you know, crotch and their boobs and things like that. And it's like, wow, I wish, you know, I didn't know yoga was, you know, like that. I probably would have gotten into yoga a little bit earlier in my life, you know. I didn't realize the classes were, you know, that way. And that's, and to me, that's just if you just look on the social media and you look at what's talked about and what's presented, we've got women who are selling themselves online, and their husbands are, you know, because it makes money for them, they're selling themselves, they're selling their looks, they're selling their, you know, their sexuality. I'm glad my children grew up when they grew up. Before a lot of this internet and all of the phones and stuff were, I mean, most of my kids, when they were growing up, had flip phones or, you know, the slide phones or something like that, so they didn't have access to the internet as readily as they do today. They were lucky, you know. And my kids, my youngest son even says, he says, Dad, sometimes I wish I grew up when you grew up, and it was like even easier during those times. You know, you had a few things to worry about, but most of the time you were a kid, you were going to school and then coming home and playing, doing your homework, and then go out and play. And you watched a little bit of TV at night, maybe a couple TV shows, you know, sitcoms or variety shows that were on. And then Saturday morning you get up and watch cartoons, Looney Tunes and things on Saturday morning, and they only ran till noon, so you're outside the whole time. Sunday we went to church. Every Sunday we went to church, and when I was growing up, church was an all-day thing. You go in the morning, you go to Sunday school and things like that, and then you'd come back in the evening and go to the sacrament meeting. So it was an all-day thing for us. Sometimes I think, thank goodness it changed where we have a two-hour session now, or we have a sacrament meeting where we take the Lord's Supper, and then we have either Sunday school classes in primary and priesthood and relief society alternating weeks. But it's a time to recharge your battery spiritually, religiously, to learn religious doctrine, and to be able to be around people that believe in the same way that you do. Not that that's like super important, but it is super important to have a base of people that believe the same way that you do. You know, it's kind of hard to be on your own and believing a lot of stuff on your own. It's nice to have people that believe the same way that you do, especially in today's society where things are so screwed up and everything is right, nothing's wrong, and if you believe a certain way and you're called this and that and I don't even know where the terms come from, you know, it's like they make no sense. And if they make no sense, they have no meaning. So they've destroyed the meaning of words and vocabulary and in today's society, and it's a confusing time. And it's not supposed to be a confusing time. We were supposed, this president you know, ran on the ticket of that I'm going to be the great uniter. You know, I'm the old man. I'm the grandpa of the family. I'm the patriarch of the family. I'm going to bring back civility to our to the White House because the other guy was a child and acted childish, which in many cases he did. But I'm going to bring back unity, and we're going to be unified as a country. And I'm sorry, Mr. Biden, President Biden, but we are more divided today than we have ever been in this country. And it's getting worse. The train just keeps chugging along, and it's getting faster and faster and faster. We're becoming more divided and more divided and more divided. What is it going to take to change this? I've been harping on this for like the last couple of episodes because it's so important to me. It's like, gosh, like, why can't we see it? Why can't we as Americans see what's going on and do something about it? Why in states where we see the crime and the poverty and the homelessness and the massive amounts of inflation and all this stuff, it's all due to policies of leaders that we put in place. Why do these states and these people continue to put people in place that just continue to do the same thing? Chicago was a perfect example. You kicked Lori Lightfoot out and you replaced him with another Democrat who's worse than the other than Lightfoot was. Same thing happened in New York. You got rid of one and you put in somebody else who is just as bad or even worse. People with no spine, they do not have spine to do the right thing, to buck the system. We need people to buck the system. Okay, we need leaders who are going to buck the system and say, enough is enough. I'm getting off this train. I'm going to do everything I can to stop it. Just for one instance, okay, immigration. Look at immigration. Look at New York. Okay? Just years ago, all these states, California, all these states were talking, you know, brandishing the excitement. Governors were excited, you know, about being sanctuary states, sanctuary cities for illegals, right? Well, now that the border is completely out of control, completely being ignored by our administration today, because that's what they wanted. They want us to be overrun by these people wanting to come into our country illegally. Okay, now what's happening? Okay, it wasn't in the state anymore. Very few, or if any, were coming in the state of New York. Okay, but now you have a governor in the state of Texas, Governor Abbott, who is now saying, hey, I can't deal with all these people, so I'm going to start shipping them out to different states. I'm going to send them to New York. I'm going to send them to Chicago. And all of a sudden, New York starts having an influx of, what, 100-some thousand immigrants into their state, into their city. And lo and behold, guess what? We have the mayor of the city bitching and complaining about being able to handle the amount of refugees, these illegal aliens. That's what they are. They're here illegally, and they're not natives, so they're aliens. Okay, that's what they are. And he's bitching and complaining. And who is he bitching about? He's bitching about Abbott, not the person that's not Congress, not the President of the United States, but he's bitching that the state governor of Texas is sending people to him. Well, you're a sanctuary city. You should be welcoming these people. You should be opening your arms. So what's the mayor's idea? What's the mayor's idea? Here's his idea. Okay, and you can look this up on the internet if you want, if I'm telling you a lie. I'm not telling you a lie, it's the truth. I try to tell the truth here and give my opinions about things. I tell you it's my opinion, but this is the truth. What they're doing is now they are taking children out of schools, people, taxpayers, parents, pay taxes for the children to go to school, and they're taking those children out of school, and they're using the schools to house these illegal aliens. They're also taking elderly out of assisted care living and putting them into other homes for housing for these illegal aliens. These people are taxpayers. They are United States citizens. And you're shifting that. You're shifting their rights, taking away their rights. You're not their taxpaying dollars, and you're shifting it to these illegals. Okay, instead of complaining and finding fault with the red states, how about finding fault with the President of the United States? This is his deal. Okay, this is on his table. It's at his desk, and the buck stops with Joe Biden. It does. It's his responsibility to work with Congress to make to make policy, to make laws for immigration, and he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't do it. The vice president doesn't do it. Mayorkas doesn't want to do it. They just continue to let it run. They just continue to let it happen. Let Texas deal with it. You know, well, I'm telling you what, the states are going to start taking care of it, and they're going to start shutting down and not allowing these. And then what are you going to do, President? What are you going to do when these states start saying, had enough, can't take it anymore, I'm not doing it anymore? What are you going to do? You're going to have a fight with state rights over that stuff? Huh? Jeez. You know, it's like, let's just ignore it. It'll, you know, let's just ignore. We're just going to continue on just pummeling down this track, and it's eventually goes off the track. It's either we have another disaster or if it's going to go right off the cliff. I asked it at the beginning of this, and I'll ask it again. Where is your precipice? Where is the cliff? Where is it? Dan Bongino, I was listening to him the other day. He says it's one of two things. People just haven't gotten mad enough yet. They haven't reached their cliff yet to make the change. And he's asking, like, you know, where's yours? Where is it? He says, I'm there. He says, I'm fighting back. I'm not taking anymore. And each of us need to do that. And we need to look at people who are running for offices, that they're honest and they're good people that have plans, not just campaign slogans, but real plans, real ideas to make changes. And then investigate those changes, look into those changes, what they're proposing, see if it's something that is viable to work. We need to change. Polls are saying we need to change. People are unhappy. People are getting stressed out more and more and more and more. And I'm telling you, if we're looking to a person to do this, you know, they might be able to do a little bit, you know, whoever you're going to vote for, it doesn't matter to me. It does, but that's my personal business. But whoever you're going to vote for isn't really going to change things. You and I, the individual United States American citizens, are the ones that need to change and demand that the representatives that we are voting for and sending to Washington actually work and they do something, both on the Democratic side and on the Republican side. Okay, and to tell you the truth, I don't mean to be partisan in any way, but you know, it seems to me like Democrats need to stop this partisan, I'm gonna just vote Democrat because I've been Democrat for, you know, decades and decades and decades. You need to start looking at things in a different way and seeing if your party has left you behind. Republicans, we need to get rid of people that aren't going to do the work, who are afraid to stand up for what is right and what's true. Get rid of the dead wood in there and replace them with people who are actually going to go and work and make a difference and represent its people, its constituency. We are living in a very difficult time, very, very difficult time, from a political standpoint, from a foreign policy standpoint, from a religious and spiritual standpoint. We are dying. We have the remedies for it, but we are ignoring them. Many of us are ignoring the signs. and the things that need to be done. Hard things. There are going to be hard things that need to be done. And we need to be, have the guts to do that, looking at our future, looking at our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. What kind of a country are we going to leave them? I worry about that a lot. You know, I'm 65 years old. I don't have a whole lot of time. I'm on the backside of my my life here on Earth, you know, but I've got children. I've got grandchildren. What kind of life am I leaving them? You know, what kind of spiritual foundation am I leaving them? Am I teaching them principles and standards, and hopefully they'll govern themselves rightly and good? Or am I allowing the world and, you know, our educational system to do that? Well, I think I've taught my children to think for themselves and to make sure that they teach their children that. And God, I really hope that we, all of us, are doing the same thing. And speaking up, using our voices, using our freedoms that we have, as long as we have them, and really making a change. The results are just not acceptable if we keep going in the direction we're going. We're going to come close to failing as a country and as a constitution. Well, that's all I got today. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great week. Be safe out there. It's a very confusing world. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for truth. Don't be, you know, bullied into doing things that you don't want to do. Stand up and have a voice. We're starting to see that more and more. I'm excited about that. If you didn't see the videos of that school, these school kids, these high school students who left their school because they were, I think they were protesting transgenderism and things like that in their school. The philosophies that the teachers and that the educational system there is trying to teach them, and they took the day off, they skipped school, and they were protesting that. And that just brings my, you know, joy to my heart. You're seeing the younger generation starting to see this, and I'm hoping that parents and adults in their 30s and 40s are starting to, will see this as well and support their kids and support their families in the same way. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you like what I say, please share it with your friends. Give me 5 stars. You can check out everything on my website at robscottpodcast.com. Send me an email if you want at rob@robscott.com. And have a great week.